It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, we're going to talk about two very different musical collaborations. Later in the hour, Doug Gentile is a psychologist at Iowa State University, and Tom Florek is a computer programmer in New Jersey. But for 30 years, they've also been making unusual music together. I'll talk with both of them later in the hour. But first, a collaboration that resulted in a play and an album, All Recipes Are Home. Sean Lewis, the playwright, will join us in just a few minutes. But with me right now is Katie Roche. She's a musician and a member of the Awful Purdies. And we're having some technical difficulties, so I can't bring Sean into the conversation yet. So I'm going to let you tell a little bit of his story, Katie. Thank you so much for being here.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
And actually, we can now hear
Sean. Oh, good.
Sean.
He's going to be able to tell it better than I will.
Hello, Sean.
G'day.
Hi, thank you so much for being here. And Sean, I'll let you start at the very beginning. How did this start?
What happened is Hanser Auditorium, my company, Working Group Theater, we had done a couple of shows with them. One was about Alzheimer's, one was about race in Iowa. And then at one point, Chuck Swanson, the executive director, said, "What about a happy show?" And he was like, I know that people like food. Would you be interested in making a show about food?" And then after that, I said yes, and I started going around the state and doing interviews with farmers and people involved with meatpacking and just across the boards.
Well, food is a pretty general subject. So
yeah.
you started doing interviews. What was it that gave you the direction that you wanted to go with the play?
Oh, man, it was a big mess in the beginning, because you're right. Like, I was like, this can go in so many different directions. So one thing I started looking at was things like Greek myth, like the Odyssey, just because I thought that it would allow me to go through all the different forms that food is involved in the life of Iowans, like from meatpacking as well as farms and grocery stores and everything else. But then I heard a couple of interviews where the content was really responsive, was really hit me. And then I started thinking about, like, okay, well, let me think about the event, and maybe that'll help me structure this. And I was like, well, food in my family is completely related to parties. So I was like, maybe I'll just throw a party. And if I throw a party, then I'm going to need music. And that's when I started to reach out to Katie and the Awful Purdies. I brought them in pretty early on, actually, in the process.
Well, and Katie, tell me about that first conversation you had with Sean. What did he say to you?
We really entered into this with a very loose idea of what we were going to be doing. And in fact, even when we were in rehearsals just months out from presenting the play, we were still really figuring out how the music was going to work within the play. So he really just said, it's going to be a play about food, and you're going to be on stage playing music. And then even closer to the play, he said, "And also, Katie, how do you feel about being the narrator?" And I said, "Sure." So it was really a great exploration.
Have you ever done anything like that before, where you've written music to accompany something, another piece of art that already existed?
Well, actually, another Working Group Theater production with Sean and Jennifer, I was asked to write a song for Out of Bounds, which was the closing song for that play. And that was another tall order. They asked me to write an uplifting song about bullying. So that was a challenge.
So they knew that you were up to challenges. But when you started working on the music, I mean, Sean had conducted these interviews. Did he bring you some of those materials?
Well, we really admired Working Group Theater's approach, where they go out into the world and they talk to real people and try to incorporate those stories into their plays. And so we modeled the way that we were going to approach our project off of that. And I work as a fundraiser and grant writer in the arts. And so I decided to apply my skills to my musical project, Awful Purdies, and I wrote a grant, and we received it. So our project was supported in part by the Our Arts Council, which is a division of the Department of Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts. And what I asked for funding for was for us to go out and talk to farmers and food workers around the state and ask them about their lives. And instead of just sitting down and talking to them, we decided what we would do is we would play them a concert, and then afterwards we would sit in a circle, and we called them story circles. And so that's how we gathered our stories.
Well, and Sean, why don't you give us a little bit of background of the play? Because I know that the Awful Purdies really went beyond that in creating this album, but you set the stage, so to speak. So tell me the story that the play tells.
Sure. So the basics, I'll try and be as succinct as possible, is that there is a brother and sister who are both Czechoslovakian immigrants that are living outside of Iowa. The younger brother, their parents have passed away, and the younger brother has fallen in love with a non-Czech girl that his sister, who is now the matriarch of their family, does not approve of. They're going to get married, not the brother and sister, the boyfriend and girlfriend, the Czech brother and his love. And the sister kind of challenges him and says that, you know, you've never had a job, you've never really been a man, like, you've never taken care of yourself. How are you going to take care of a wife as well? And at the same time, a friend of his gets recruited to go work at a farm in Iowa. So the brother decides to follow him, and this is kind of like Dust Bowl era, and he decides to follow his friend in order to raise the money that will be used for the wedding and to prove his sister wrong. The problem is when he gets to the farm, it's already been foreclosed on. He shows up, and there's already what could be called a Tupperware parade, where everyone's coming out to purchase the former belongings of the farm. So embarrassed, the brother decides that he will not go home and be proved wrong by his sister. So he then goes off to a meatpacking plant, and he starts the journey across Iowa doing odd jobs within the farming and food industry. And what happens is the sister and the girlfriend end up starting to track him down to find out why he left. And in the end, the girlfriend ends up starting her own farm as well in Iowa to find herself as well. And then it has a happy ending. The brother and his girlfriend find each other and realize how much they've grown through the land.
So, Katie, when you were in the process of collaborating with Sean and writing this music, was the play structure pretty fully formed, or were you still figure this out?
We were. In fact, Sean was reacting to songs that we were writing and creating scenes as a result of that, and then we were reading scenes of the play and getting together with the actors and seeing them performed in early rehearsals and getting inspired. And I think one of the coolest things that happened through those interactions was that very, very early on, Sean had this, I don't know if it was a realization, but he said, you know, these female characters need to be really strong. I'm working with this group of female musicians. The music's going to be there. And we watched these female characters blossom right before our eyes. They had these incredible backstories and so much strength. And so that was really inspiring and exciting.
Now, I have the album, and so I have this project grew even larger than the play. I mean, tell me what happened there. It's one thing to write music for a play, but then you guys kept going.
Yeah. One of the things we knew from the beginning is that we've always done fun things with the way we've packaged our albums. And this time around, we wanted to have a relationship with Seed Savers Exchange and Decora, because that was part of the inspiration for the play for Sean, was hearing the story of this man who came to the United States with a pocket full of seeds from his homeland. So we reached out to Seed Savers and decided that the album would only be a physical album after it had been grown from seeds. So the physical album is actually a download card that's attached to a seed packet. And what was really cool is that we distributed those seeds before the album was even done. And the seed packets grew in people's gardens. And so upon our album release, we were getting pictures and emails from people sitting down for meals of rainbow chard and corn and things like that that they had grown from our album.
Well, I think we need to hear some music. And I'd love for you to, let's play the song Rest These Bones in just a couple of minutes. And I'd love for you to tell me first where the inspiration for that song came from.
Well, part of the project, as I said, was going out and talking to farmers and food workers. And we started realizing that farmers, not all of them, but a lot of the folks we were talking to weren't incredibly forthcoming with their stories. They tended to be a little little more quiet and maybe self-contained. And we realized that we needed other ways to help pull the stories out. And so so we decided to do a letter writing project, and we distributed letters and kind of form letters to people at farmers markets. And the very first letter we got back was from Lois Pavelka out of Mount Vernon. And she has Pavelka Point Farms with her husband, Bill Ellison. And she wrote this beautiful letter, and maybe she didn't think it was a beautiful letter. Maybe she just thought it was a little story about her life. But for me, it felt like exactly what I needed to hear at that moment, which was there's so much complaining in everyday life about how hard people work and how hard life is, right? But Lois's letter was very matter of fact. She said, you know, we go to bed every night and there's still work left to do the next day. And that's just how it is. And so I wrote this song as an ode to hard work.
All right, let's listen to Rest These Bones. Of Rest These Bones by the Awful Purdies. It's part of the album All Recipes Are Home, an album that began as a play. With me this hour, I have Katie Roche. She's a musician and a member of the Awful Purdies. Also with me, Sean Lewis. He's the playwright behind the play All Recipes Are Home. This is Talk of Iowa. These bones. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about two very different musical collaborations. Coming up in a few minutes, I'll talk to Doug Gentile and Tom Florek about their band that has been together for 30 years, Doug and Tom. That's coming up in a few minutes. But with me right now is Katie Roche. She's a musician and a member of the Awful Purdies. Sean Lewis is a playwright, and they work together on the play All Recipes Are Home, which also then turned into an album for the Awful Purdies. And I want to play a little more music in just a moment, but Sean, the song I'm going to play in a little while is Common Ground, which is about leaving the farm. It's also about finding the farm, and that's a theme that came up a lot in the interviews that you were doing. Can you tell me a little bit about what you heard from people?
Yeah, absolutely. The difficulties of leaving the farm was one of the first things that I got hit with. I was in a farm, a family farm in Decorah, and I spent the day with the son of a couple, of an older couple that had had a family farm for I think about 30 years. And as Katie said before, I mean, he wasn't the most forthcoming, but one of the things that I started to realize as the day went on was he was preparing to leave the farm to go to college. And it was incredibly difficult. It was incredibly hard for both him and his family. Like, the expectation was that he was going to stay there. And he felt that expectation, I think, very heavily. But there was also this whole connection to the outside world that I think he was being drawn to. So there was this push-pull of family loyalty and duty and his own personal dreams, which as a playwright, I mean, there's just so much great drama that's built into that. that I was really drawn to. And on the flip side of it, I was fascinated because I also was meeting a lot of young people who were coming to Iowa, who were kind of coming back to the farm. Like some of them had been peace workers in Africa. Some of them had been studying in college and had just graduated and were coming out to Iowa to create their own like little mini farms and co-ops amongst themselves. And there was a really great like romanticism. So kind of the dichotomy of those two was really fascinating for me.
And that was something that not only Sean brought to you, but you found in interviews you were conducting, right, Katie?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of the story circles, there we're sitting in a room with a very conventional farmer who is feeling like, you know, the things he's doing to make his farm more environmentally friendly are quite enough. And then there's a young organic farmer there who sees this farmer as an enemy. You know, I mean, we were sitting in these circles going, wow, this is a really tense situation. And oftentimes, you know, these farmers, the conventional farmers didn't have someone to take the farm over. You know, they were looking for someone to take it over. And a lot of the younger folks were not into the same farming practices as the older farmers. So it was a real
generational divide.
Yes, absolutely.
And Sean, you actually described when you were talking about this young man that you talked to in Decorah that leaving the farm almost felt like there was a death in the family for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for him and for his parents, I think that there was a level of, I mean, I understood it because there's a, like as Katie's saying, there's a level of like life's work to it, you know? So when his mom and dad had started the farm, there was very much a concept of legacy behind it. Like we're going to do this and we're going to build it up from absolutely nothing. And we have our son and we're going to give it to our son. And then he's going to build it up and give it to his son. And this will be something that we did that carries on and provides, you know, I think there's a big thing of that. I mean, farmers are at their base, providers, right? Like that. And I think in a lot of conversations I had with any of them, whether for their own family or for their community at large, that was a huge identifying factor. So the idea of it coming to their son and being like, okay, now it's your turn to continue this. And we did this for you. And then having to hear back, well, I'm not sure that that's what I want to do. I think was a big, big shock and a lot to kind of wrap their heads around on all sides. And also the disappointment that I think the son felt he was creating in his parents was a lot for him to wrestle with.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of the song that came out of this push and pull. It's called Common Ground.
Billy was born a child of the corn on a century farm. It was clear that his life from sun up to moonrise would be spent working out in the fields and the barn. Being third generation, he missed graduation and most of his childhood before. So came the surprise in his father's eyes when one day he walked straight out the door. He was leaving the toil of the springtime, the thickness of summer, the long heavy harvest, the deep winter silence, and starting all over again. The more attached you are, the more there's to lose. If I'm gonna take a chance, at least I wanna choose which ground. Which land, which town, which plan? Selma was raised in a thick urban haze on a crowded avenue. While others dreamt of material things, her sleep was filled with the dirt and the green. She had a calling, it was almost like falling. And to plant and to grow. She was dream rich but land poor, and so what she wished for was to find a place that felt like her own.
That's Common Ground from the album All Recipes Are Home by the Awful Purdies. It's also from the play All Recipes Are Home, written by Sean Lewis. And Sean Lewis is here along with Katie Roche from the Awful Purdies. And That was a song really about the push and the pull from the land to the land. You also mentioned earlier in the hour, Katie, or maybe Sean brought it up, in the play, one of the characters actually works in a meatpacking plant. There's a song that was used in the play and is on the album called Kill Floor, which is, I'm guessing, pretty far from the subject of any song you've ever written before.
Yeah, no, Awful Purdy's had never written a song about meatpacking before. It was not on our radar. What was really neat about how this song came to be was that we were already saying, you know, we can't talk about farming and food production in the state and just avoid meat altogether. It's not as pretty as talking about, you know, fields of grain, but it's a necessary thing to talk about. And so we were already working on this song, and we got together with Sean and the actors one night, and Sean said, you know, the play has brought the characters to a meatpacking plant. And I said, you're not going to believe it. We just wrote a meatpacking song. It was just one of those amazing, amazing things. And the way it was worked into the play was really, really wonderful. It was a very physical piece because it's the song. The only thing it has in it is hand claps, foot stomps, and for the first time in my life, I got to play knives. Zhing.
Oh wow! Well, let's listen to Kill Floor.
Gristle and bone, hoof and horn, hanging great, leaving me torn. Home, discarded back strap, gotta save, gotta send my dollars back home. No bull, no boar on the kill floor.
Singing a workday song to help move the day along. Hope it won't be long till I go home.
Blood of the beast, feed in the feast, shoe in the feet of my family back home. No bull, no boar on the kill floor.
We're listening to Kill Floor from the album All Recipes Are Home, also from the play All Recipes Are Home. Sean, what was your reaction when Katie said, well, actually, we just wrote a meatpacking song?
Oh, I knew I had the right collaborator. Sure. Yeah, there was a bunch of moments like that where I would ask for a song or say, like, hey, I just talked to this guy who said this, and Katie would turn around and be like, actually, we met a guy who said the same thing. Here's a song. So in that way, it was really great. And because the play was really, I mean, the play really was a musical. So with a lot of choreography, pieces like that were are naturally kinesthetic, you know, with the stomping and the slapping. They, again, just made for really great choreography in theater.
When you were listening to this music that Katie and the other members of the Awful Purdy's brought to you, did that change your writing? Did it change the characters at all for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they informed the play as much, if not more, than the play informed them. I mean, there was a lot where I started writing a lot of the play around the songs. I mean, it helped that I was realizing, I'm like, oh, we're writing, like Katie and the band are writing songs that are actually already in line with interviews that I've done. So I can kind of follow their lead. I mean, and also for my own creative process, that's part of what's interesting for me to do this. I mean, as much as interviewing and telling community stories is important to me, it's a big part of like every one of my shows and working group shows as a whole, that there's something that like could really fail, like something that could go like really bad, in order to kind of push the art forward. So really following the lead of the band was something I'd never worked with a band before. So it was completely new adventure, but they just kept leading it in interesting ways where I would hear a song and be able to say like, all right, now we're moving into this. So I can kind of follow that with the script. And a lot of times they would come in with a beautiful song that we had no idea where to put, but I'd start thinking really obsessively about like who would say this song. I mean, a great example of this is a song that I think Nicole wrote called Heartland, that she brought in at one of our first workshops, and it had to do with the Hispanic immigrant experience in Iowa and with farming. And as soon as I heard the song, I was like, all right, like, how can I fit this in? Like, what's the story structure? Who says this? So it was really great for pushing the story along.
Were there songs that you just couldn't make work in the play? I mean, obviously the album is slightly different from the play.
I mean, absolutely. And I feel like in some ways that was the time constraint more than anything else, is that plays just take such a long time to write. And the band was also making their album at the exact same time that I was starting to write the play. So if I had waited until all the songs were done, I think the play wouldn't have happened yet, just because of the timelines for both. And so to catch me up to them, I started listening to a bunch of their older albums. And so some of those songs made it into the piece because I started writing around those early. And then we started building to – then I feel like we caught up to each other, and more of the songs from the current album started finding their way in as well.
After going through this process, Katie, where you were performing on stage, you were the narrator, so you were really an important part of the play. Does the album – do you feel like it has a life of its own? Is it a full thing that has been born out of this process, or does it feel a little empty without the play? To you?
Well, you know, it's a standalone, it's a concept album, right? So if you know nothing about the play, you can listen to the album and say, okay, there's something, some larger theme going on here. They're talking about food, but food's really a metaphor. They're talking about love and loss, but are they talking about romantic love, or are they talking about the loss of a farm, you know? So there's that, but I think at least in our hearts and minds, when we hear these songs, we're always going to see that incredible ensemble cast of actors who brought that story to life. And with the old music that was brought into the play, I mean, there's a song that's on one of the Awful Purdy's albums that I wrote when I was in my early 20s that made it onto a Purdy's album, and then it made it into that play. And so when I'm really talking about, you know, this heartbreak of my teenage friend, you know, then, you know, Joseph, the main character in the play, he's talking about the loss of his love in the play. So they have new dimensions to them.
A lot of layers there. Now, you had never done anything like this before, really writing songs to fit a subject, to fit these interviews, but clearly everyone in the group really took to this. Is this something that you think you'll do again?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're actually talking about we're talking as a project about kind of what subject we'd like to delve into again and how we'd like to approach it. And then we're also, you know, we're talking to playwrights again, and I think the theater bug, Awful Purdy's, was founded with this idea that there would be some theatrical aspects to this band, and initially we did quite a bit of that, and now that we're back to it, we love it. We want to keep trying to do these sorts of things.
Well, and Sean, you said this is the first time you've done something like this, and I can imagine that was pretty scary for you going into it.
Yeah, absolutely. We were also touring it to like three different major performing arts centers in the state of Iowa. So we knew we were going to be playing to really large audiences. So we knew if it went really awry, it was going to go like really awry. So yeah, there was definitely some elements of fright to it, sure.
You're not living unless you're scared. That's it, right. You know.
Well, and, you know, now that you've had this experience, I can almost imagine it would be scary to try to partner with anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, music-wise, I think they were just such a great collaborator. There was such an easy give and take, which is, you know, it's always the hardest thing in any kind of collaboration. I mean, a collaboration is really a marriage. You're just kind of going like, all right, at times I'm going to follow your lead, and at times you're going to follow mine. When those things change, we're never completely sure. Like, hopefully it just happens organically.
Well, and I'm curious, how does it feel? Because, you know, when you put on a play, and especially the way that you work, the play has sort of a short life after all of that work goes into it. There are the performances, and then things are kind of over for you. But now All Recipes Are Home does live on in the album. How does that change the experience for you?
Well, I think that part of it is really great. I mean, this is something that Jen, my partner in the company in life as well, like we talk about all the time with working group shows, is like, how is it more than just the play? Because especially the way that we work, there's a lot of times where we'll do like three performances or two performances, and that's the end of a year's worth of work. And so the idea that people could walk away with an album, and also the way we were able to do the play this time where we were performing in like an old barn and families were able to come and have food beforehand. So there was a much bigger, I think, event and community, like kind of barn dance feel to it, and that they're also able to walk home with an album afterwards is great.
Well, Sean Lewis, thank you so much. Sean Lewis is the playwright behind All Recipes Are Home. And Katie Roche, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Katie Roche of the Awful Purdies. You can find the album at awfulpurdies.com, and we'll go out with the title track, All Recipes Are Home. This is Talk of Iowa.
Just a satchel.